The very first voice that you hear on episode one is our narrator, and she's kind of, her name is Prudence Plumley, and she's kind of like a cross between Rod Serling and Julie Andrews. She exists like outside of time and space, but but she's reassuring. She's like here to help us and guide us along, because there's some like science fiction elements too to this. So, and saw the nerds perk up. What? Science fiction. So, as luck would have it, the lovely lady who plays Prudence Plumley is here with us tonight, and she's going to help us get things kicked off. How about a warm welcome for Ms. Jane Edith Wilson?
I don't kiss all the hosts, just the ones I'm married to. Aww. And if you listen to it, Prudence Plumley, the accent is like what we like to call fake French. Kind of like the way Madonna talks, you know what I mean? General classy lady voice. So, because somebody was asking me, that's not a very good British accent, Jane. I'm like, it's not supposed to be a British accent. Anyway. So, my piece is called Dumb Love. Sometimes I love dumb love songs. And sometimes I love dumb radio stations. Not all the time, but at some very key times in my life, the mainstream and the mundane have been a real lifesavers for me. Mandy by Barry Manilow, Back Home Again by John Denver, Long, Long Time by Linda Ronstadt, Longer by Dan Fogelberg, Lady by Little River Band. Yeah, and Everything I Own by Bread. Yeah, yeah, I know. It's a problem, okay? The first time I was majorly in love, one of our commiserating points was a love of old-timey and nostalgic. We stalked the vintage clothing stores, me looking for flower print dresses, him looking for cardigan sweaters. Bill and I listened to the oldies station at NYC, WCBS, with Cousin Brucey. Thanksgiving was all about this massive countdown to the top 500 songs of all times. You could call in your top three songs for the survey. My number one song was Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by the Inkspots. And his was always something Elvis. Then we'd listen all weekend long. By the way, this group in Queens, these guys that all went to high school together, would always call in Still of the Night over and over again and would always be number one. Anyway, but I digress. Then Bill broke my heart, and everything old-timey and vintage need to be put in the back of the closet. And now Madonna was on the scene, and I loved her. And then Whitney Houston, and anything to do with top radio and whatever fashion choices those two bitches were making, I was all about that, okay? So leggings, oversized tuxedo jacket, lingerie, lace fingerless gloves, you bet. Huge, huge hair with bright pink bow and overlined eyes and big dangly earrings. Why not? And high heels. High heels to party. High heels on my waitress shift. High heels on the subway. High heels to do my laundry. If you were one of those freaks that wore tennis shoes and had your heels in a plastic bag, I didn't even want to look at you. Okay? And the dumb songs. They were always there. Like a soft body pillow I could sink into and hug tight and sing along to on pretty much when I was in a constant drunken stupor. Saving All My Love for You by Whitney, Crazy for You by Madonna, Always by Atlanta Starr, Sweet Love by Anita Baker, Alone by Heart, Missing You by John Waite, Lost in Your Eyes by Debbie Gibson. Now don't get me wrong, when I went out dancing, it was all about Prince and Bowie and Salt-N-Pepa and Beastie Boys, but home alone with my clock radio, time to turn on the schmaltz. Then I met what I thought was my next big love. It was not really true love for one another that bonded me to John, but our shared love of getting completely plastered every single day of our damn lives. You know, the relationship is not a healthy one when your nickname for each other is Ironweed. Okay? You know the 1980s film where Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep play career alcoholics during the 1930s depression? Yeah. As in, hey, Ms. Ironweed, meet me after rehearsal tonight at the Ye Olde Triple Inn. Got it. See you later, Mr. Ironweed. Okay? Along with drinking, because he was just someone who liked to drink a lot, John was also drinking a lot because he was trying like hell not to be gay. Anyway, the fall of 1989, I decided it was time for me to visit Los Angeles and check things out. No one was encouraging me to do this. It was just a hot idea I had. an actor from my off-Broadway theater company had made the move there, and he'd been a guest star on Who's the Boss? There's gold in them thar hills, I thought to myself. Also, at this point in my life, I thought of myself as more of a writer than an actor, so I typed up an episode of Murphy Brown on my IBM Selectrix. I adapted my first play into a screenplay, and I made the decision I would take an Amtrak train cross-country because they had a special deal that you could go back and forth across America with three major breaks in your itinerary for $165. I decided I would pit stop in Des Moines and see my family. My dad offered to pay for Xeroxing of my scripts. And then Denver to see my best friend from high school and then go on to L.A. straight through the way back. My gay drunk boyfriend helped me lug my travel trunk from my place in Hell's Kitchen to my evening train departure, treating me to many drinks before he put me on the track at Penn Station. Don't fall in love with some L.A. hotshot. Call me every day if you can. When you get back, I'll be right here on this platform to greet you. I stared out the window as the train pulled from the station and I turned the dials on my Walkman radio. The only thing I had to amuse me, aside from my journal, as we left the station, the first song that came through was Right Here Waiting for You by Richard Marx. Oh my God, it's an FM radio sign from above. That song played every single time I flipped on the radio. It played in Pennsylvania, it played in Indiana, it played in Illinois, it played in Iowa, in Colorado, in Utah, and then as the train crossed into Cali. When I arrived in LA with my hot pink and black clothes, my high heels, my big hair, a palette full of improperly formatted scripts, and my alcohol... and my alcoholism, the city did not rise up to meet me in the manner in which I thought it would. I'd purchased a creative directory at Sam French to cold call like a fiend. Assistants to assistants shook my hand and took my scripts. I called John every single day, and his machine picked up every single time, and he never called me back. Not at my parents, not at my best friend in Denver, not in L.A. I drank wine and stared at the Pacific Ocean at sunset the night before I returned to New York. My friend warned me not to move to L.A. You're so not an L.A. person. You're so New York. I can't imagine you outside of Manhattan. At that point, I couldn't either. I jumped back on the Amtrak, and the Richard Marx song started up again, playing in Arizona, then New Mexico, then Kansas, and again in Pennsylvania. I never did talk to Mr. Ironweed. He was too busy starting to be gay to answer the phone, or even get to Penn Station to meet my train as it rolled in. I'd blown all my money, so I walked with my trunk and my high heels all the way back to Hell's Kitchen, stopping into a Blarney Rock on 42nd Street where I knew the bartender and I could drink for free for a spell. That trip planted the seed that LA is a pretty awesome and maybe one day I will get my shit together and go live there. Also, on the way back to NYC, between Chicago and Pennsylvania, I struck up a conversation with a pregnant woman who'd escaped a domestic abuser and was on her way home to New Jersey about to marry a nice man who treated her with dignity. That conversation and the train trip became the basis of my second play. I'm still friends with gay Mr. Ironweed. I no longer drink. He, by some miracle of stamina and good genes, still does. I have a bulging disc and sciatica, and I no longer own any high heels. And whenever I hear that stupid Richard Marx song, I get a tear in my eye. If you're looking for me after the show, I might be standing in the corner quietly singing Jar of Hearts under my breath. Because dumb songs are still a major problem. Thank you.
Keep it going for Jane. Isn't she something? Love her so much.